All right, so we've started into Ezra chapter 5. We saw at the last part, in fact, the last verse of chapter 4, Ezra 4:24, told us that the work on the house of God at Jerusalem stopped unto the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So after Cyrus, these enemies of Israel, the Samaritan people particularly, that were their neighbors there, they were not happy to see the captives return from Babylon and to begin to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple of the Lord. And they offered their assistance in helping them to build the temple, which of course was a very insincere offer, as their designs were to destroy that work. But they were not true followers of God as they claimed, and Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and the other elders of the people did have the wisdom to recognize that and did not allow them to join in the work. And so their response to that was then to hire counselors against them to with their counsel to frustrate the purpose and the work that they were doing to rebuild the temple. And so they were doing everything they could to hinder that work. And in particular, they wrote letters to the Persian government with the accusation that these Jews were going to rebuild and then resist the Persians, and so that they would lose their authority in that region and also lose their revenue from taxation. And they pointed out the example of their rebellion against the Babylonians, against Nebuchadnezzar, which is what led to the destruction of the temple. And so they used a true historical event in their history, but as a basis to then accuse them of planning a rebellion against the Persians. And that accusation was false. And it was also against the Persian law to change one of their laws. And so with that decree that Cyrus had made, authorizing the people to return from captivity and to rebuild the temple, and providing the means for that to be done, that was not something that could be legally reversed by the Persian government after Cyrus. But they were not aware of that decree, so obviously, very intentionally, that fact was left out of the letter that these enemies of the Israelites used in their letters to the government. So they were framing it as this rebellious people is now rebuilding and they're going to rebel again. It was successful for a time in stopping the work, and we can see all the way to the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. We also considered how that God obviously is the one that permitted that that effort by these enemies of Israel to have success for a few years in stopping this work on the temple. But God used that for his purposes and for good also, due to the prophecies of the timing of the desolations of Jerusalem, which was to last 70 years. So God let this happen to delay that work until it would be restarted and then end up being completed exactly at the time that God had had foretold and promised that it would. So all of this is being worked by God according to his plans and purposes. So it was really a necessary thing from that standpoint, that that the work not be completed too soon, so that God had this work and enabled this work to be stopped for that period of time. Now, from the standpoint of his people, should they not be doing the work of the Lord because these enemies of theirs are hindering them, and they even have government officials telling them to stop? If God tells them to build, then what should they do? They should build. So that's where we started chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2, where it said, "Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak and began to build the house of God," which is at Jerusalem. "And with them were the prophets of God helping them." So when they were discouraged by all of this opposition, and that can certainly happen, and this is a reason why we study this. There are different means and methods that the devil uses to try to discourage us from serving the Lord and from doing the good works that he gives us the opportunity to do. We can learn a lot about that in this study. We've already seen several of the ways the devil went after them to try to get them to stop. Well, this was one of them, and did succeed in stopping for a while. So it's time for this work to resume. So what means does God use to encourage the people to start that work again? He uses his prophets, two of them, Haggai and Zechariah. So we can tell from these verses right here in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, that those two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, and this was Zechariah the son of Iddo, we've already seen at least two other prophets named Zechariah that God had raised up in Israel's history. So this is another one. This is the one that we know of as the inspired writer of the book of Zechariah that we have as part of the so-called minor prophets, Haggai being another one. So this tells us Haggai and Zechariah, they were together with these captives that returned from Babylon. I mean, what were the chances that Haggai and Zechariah themselves had been part of those captives and went back with the people? I mean, that's almost certainly the case. They're with the people here in this work. And what is the one of the major ways, if not the primary purpose that God had for these prophets to be with the people? To encourage them. And doing the Lord's work to help them to do that. Well, how did they do that? How did God use them to help them do this work in rebuilding the temple? Well, they prophesied to them in the name of the God of Israel. Well, what did they tell them to do? When they spoke in the name of the Lord to them, what was the effect in verse 2? It says that then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God. I mean, they had already laid the foundation. This is when they are resuming the work. But was the words of those two prophets, were they instrumental in causing the people and encouraging and helping the people to get started back on doing that work? Well, that's what he says there. So yes, the answer to that is a resounding yes. So when we look at the books of Haggai and Zechariah, what would we expect to see in those two books? Would we expect to see this situation being brought up in the books of those two prophets? Well, we would expect that, and indeed that's what we see. I mean, that is... The book of Haggai is much shorter than Zechariah. Zechariah is a longer book that contains a lot of prophecies, many of them dealing with what was to come in the future as far as similar to the book of Daniel, what the Greeks were going to be doing against the Israelites, prophecies of Christ. So there are a lot of those prophetic visions and foretelling the future for Israel that was beyond the time of the rebuilding of the temple. So there's a lot more material in Zechariah, and a lot of it contains those things. But we also see the situation with the need to rebuild the temple being brought up in the book of Zechariah too, just like Haggai, as we would expect that to be the case, since God says they were both there together with the people, and he was using them to encourage and help them to do that very thing, to start the work back. Well, what did that last verse of Ezra chapter 4 tell us as far as the work of the on the temple? It stopped until what year? Yes. So the book of Haggai, what are the opening words of the book of Haggai? That would be chapter 1, verse 1. It's only got two chapters, but the beginning of the book of Haggai says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. Well, does that line up with the timing that we see in of what the beginning of Ezra chapter 5 is dealing with? This is exactly that time. So the work of the temple had stopped. And so now at this time, just as God describes the beginning of Ezra 5, we can see that this is the very time in which these words were inspired by God through the prophet Haggai. So in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Aren't those the same two that it was mentioned in the beginning of Ezra 5 that said that they began to... These were the leaders. These were the two main leaders of these captives that had returned from Babylon to do that work. So the words of Haggai are directly to those two, then by extension to the rest of the people. And he says in verse 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Why would they say that? Why were the people saying it? Well, they'd stopped doing the work, and what was their reason for saying that? Well, the time to build isn't now. Why? What did chapter 4 tell us about? What was the reason that they stopped the work? The Persian government sent that letter and told their enemies over there to make sure that work stopped. And so they brought that great pressure on them to stop. Here we've got the letter from the top of the Persian government that says you can't do this work. And so with that pressure and threats that would be behind that, they stopped. So they're saying, well, the time isn't right to do this. Well, can we understand them thinking that and being discouraged to that point where they're saying that this isn't the time to build? And then what do they do instead? Instead of building God's house, then what do they do with their time? Well, then they get centered on building their own houses. And so verse 3, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house be waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat but have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." had God brought some hardship upon them personally as they were, they had stopped this work on the temple and they were dwelling in their own sealed houses? Did God bring some hardships upon them to get their attention? He did. And now he's using their circumstances, and he's also using his word through these prophets. He's using the rod and reproof, isn't he? Well, does he do that today? Does he have his word to instruct and correct us? And if we are not doing something right, do we have his word as a mirror to look into and look at the words that speak to us, that tell us what we need to do differently than what we're doing? We have that. And does God also work in our lives and circumstances to get us to do, to consider what we're doing, to consider our ways? He does plenty of things like that to get our attention to think about those things, and we need to do that. So God was working with them in the same way that he does with us in those means. Now, yes, there's a difference. He's not going to send in two prophets into the room right now and then tell us, address us directly. We don't need that because we have the complete revelation from God for us and everything, all things that pertain to life and godliness, all truth here in this his word. So we have all that we need right there to study. But the use of his word and also working in their lives to get them to consider their ways, to think about what they're doing. I mean, God does that same thing with us. And it's interesting to see twice in those opening verses, in those first seven verses of the book, that two times in verses 5 and 7, he says, consider your ways. I mean, that's where it was going to start. If they were going to change what they were doing, how could they change what they're doing if they didn't first consider their ways, think about what they were doing or not doing, and then see what they should be doing, and then change what they're doing? I mean, how are we going to change what we're doing if we don't consider what we're doing? I mean, there's no way that we can. So we need to ponder the path of our feet. We need to look at what we're doing, look at how we're living, look at the different things that we are doing in our lives, the way that we're doing those things, and we need to think very seriously and earnestly about all of those things and consider all of our ways, look at what God teaches and see, well, am I really doing everything the way he says to do that, or do I need to do some things differently? Well, they needed to do something different. They needed to get back to work, doing the Lord's work and building this temple. So he's getting them to consider their ways. He says in verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So what's his instruction there in verse 8? Build the house. So he used Haggai here as one of his prophets to tell them, build. So in verse 4, or verse 2, the people said, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That's what the people are saying. What does God say in verse 8? Build the house. Well, what do they need to do? They need to quit with their excuses that was born out of discouragement, which we can understand. But he's telling them now, build the house. He said furthermore in verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountain, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all that labor of the hands. all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God hath sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Now, why was that important? I mean, the first thing God says, consider your ways, build a house. Do they obey or not? They obey. So did Haggai help them? Yes, by doing what? Well, it says it very clearly in verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. And what should we be doing today? We have what the Lord says, thus saith the Lord. We need to be speaking the Lord's message and his words. Is there any other way to help each other to do what's right than by finding the Lord's message, his words, and then encourage one another with his words? And that's what Haggai did. So that's how Haggai helped them, by giving them the word of God. And they listened to it, and so they obeyed. Because these people, are these wicked people, or were these ones that God gave them hearts to know him, and they were seeking him? Yes. But do God's people ever get discouraged from doing what's right by different ways the devil's working against us? It happened to them. And I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand if it's ever happened to you too, but it's very likely, if we're all honest with ourselves, we know that this has happened to us before too. And that's why we have a lot to learn from there. But when God says, here's the work I want you to do, we need to do that work. And when God says, do this, we need to do it. And when they were reminded of that, did they consider their ways? They did. They heard Haggai's words. Did they hear those words and say, well, we're not doing that? Did they get mad at Haggai and start railing on Haggai because he told them they weren't doing what they should be doing? No. It was God's word. This was from God, not Haggai. But they recognized that. So when he said, here's what God says, build the house, they started to build the house again. Verse 4, but what was the reason they had stopped? Well, they had gotten discouraged from that opposition from their neighbors. So what does, and did they have any fear of the Persian government? I mean, could they send their soldiers against them and do something to them? Could they be potentially killed, as labeled as rebels, and be killed if they continued that work? Could they be taken back into captivity? I mean, would they have any of those thoughts, or could those fears be there? So what did Haggai say in the Lord's message there in verse 13? What did God tell them? I am with you. Would that alleviate their fears? You concerned about all these other people and all these other things? You concerned about what might happen to you? Build the house. I'm with you. What does that do with their fears? Verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So this started in the first day of the month, when Haggai begins in verse 1 to speak these things. And now they have started up same month. So this is all at the same exact time here in Darius' second year that we are looking at now into the beginning of chapter 5 of the book of Ezra. Now, in the book of Zechariah, in chapter 4, because Haggai wasn't the only one. I mean, could God have sent but one of these prophets to speak his words to them and encourage them in this work? Could he have done it with one? Well, it was his will, obviously, that he used two. So whatever encouragement they may have gained and help they may have gained by God's word through one prophet, how about if God sends two at the same time and those two prophets together are telling them, here's what God says, and it's not just one but two of them? Did that add any strength to it? Did that give them any further encouragement or help? I mean, obviously it did. God chose to do that, use these two to help them, and it was successful. So in Zechariah chapter 4, it begins there in verse 1, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. So were they facing a mountain in front of them as far as from their perspective on as an obstacle from doing this work of building the temple? Who placed a mountain in their way? Well, I mean, the devil did, but who did he use to do it? I mean, these neighbors of theirs, and then it would particularly look like a pretty big mountain if there's a letter from the government that says, stop these people from doing this. Wouldn't that look like a pretty big mountain? Ugh, we can't do it. It's not time to do it. I mean, that's exactly what we saw in Haggai chapter 1. But as the Lord told them through Haggai, I am with you. He's saying this also here. In what way? In verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So was it going to be up to Zerubbabel and the people by their own strength or power to be able to do this work? Or was it going to be by God being with them, that he would take care of this? And what did he say he was going to do with this great mountain that was before them? Turn it into a plain. So what was he going to do to the mountain? He was going to make it go away. So God was going to level the mountain in front of them, and then it was going to be flat ground. They'd be able to go right ahead. But they weren't going to be able to make that mountain go away on their own, but God was going to do it. And so then he's speaking about Zerubbabel in his hands. He'd laid the foundation, and of course it's after that that the work stops, and now he says he's going to finish it. By me, I'm going to take the mountain away. I'm going to, by my spirit, I'm going to make this happen. And so Zerubbabel is going to finish this work that got started. I mean, so that's what God is saying through Zechariah at the same time he's saying through Haggai what we just read from chapter 1 in that book. Well, hearing these words from both of these prophets, is that going to give them some encouragement to start up on that work again and do it? Well, it should, and it did. So they they did help them in this, and we can see how God used those two prophets to help them. So back in Ezra chapter 5, what can we anticipate to be the reaction from their enemies? They obviously have been quite gleeful for this period of time that the work has stopped. They were successful, at least for a good while, in their efforts to thwart the work of the Lord and to have the temple, the work to rebuild that, to be stopped. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves, you would think. So they wrote those letters that contained a false accusation and also completely omitted the fact that they had authority from Cyrus to do that work, which means anything else that they're saying about that to try to stop it would be illegal by the Persians' own laws, but that's why they left all that out. But when they're going to resume the work now, in spite of them having been told to stop, how are their enemies going to react? Well, they're going to immediately respond and react against them, trying to discourage them with that. They're going to try to rebuild that great mountain that they put in front of them. So in verse 3, it says, at the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shatterbozni and their companions, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build the house and to make up this wall? What would be the answer to that? God. God did. The very one that they were, in the beginning of chapter 4, saying that they were worshiping and serving just like they were. This puts the lie to that claim, doesn't it? Seeing how they're working here. God is the one that told them to do this. So by whose command did you to do this? And by what authority are you doing this? I mean, that's really the same question the leaders of the Jews asked Jesus, isn't it? By what authority do you do these things that you're doing? Well, they're asking that. Well, they have the same authority that Jesus did, don't they? And the same authority we have to do the work of the Lord. So verse 4, then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they should not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. They're very, you can see that they are very, their neighbors are very upset about this building being resumed. It was God's, it says the eye of God was upon them that they should not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. So who promised to be with them? Who promised to make a plain out of that great mountain? God did. So they're trying to stop it now. Does God allow them to succeed in stopping the work until this matter comes to the top of the government, to King Darius? Well, they don't succeed there because of the Lord. It was his eye upon them that did not allow them to succeed in stopping it now, because God is going to fulfill his will here. So do they write the government about it? Yes, they're going to try that again. It worked before, so they're going to try that again. Verse 6, the copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shatterbozni and his companions, the Aphrasites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we were in the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on, and prospereth in their hands. Then asked me those elders, and said unto them thus, who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? We asked their names also to certify thee that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answers, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build a house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that, our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God, and the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto them, take these vessels, go carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Well, now they very much do bring up that issue of the original authority that the Israelites are claiming that they had to build this work, and they, by their own testimony, Zerubbabel and the people reminded them of that. And so when they're wanting to know by what authority, well, it was from God through Cyrus. So they had authority from heaven, and then from the one that God had set up over them in the land, Cyrus originally. So they had authority from the government through the Lord. So that was their answer when they were queried about who, where did they get the authority, or who commanded them to build this house. So as far as men were concerned, the answer was Cyrus. But of course it was God that did it through him. And Cyrus himself had said that, acknowledged that fact. Now they're saying, search and see if it be so. Now what does that say about their neighbors concerning that, what these Israelites were saying had happened to give them the authority to build the temple? Do they really believe it? Are they expecting this search to be conducted by Darius to reveal that what everything that these Jews were saying was correct, and that they did have proper authorization to do this work on the temple? Well, if they really thought that, would they be asking for such a search to be made? So it really shows that there was very much doubt present on the part of these enemies of Israel to try to stop this work. They're really doubting whether that authority existed in the first place for them to do that work. So they're claiming that, this is the only way to settle that, isn't it? Because if Cyrus had indeed authorized them to build the temple, then what does that mean? That means it has to be built. If he didn't, and the search is made, and there is no such thing, and that was a false claim being made by these Jews, then what happens? Well, then it's going to stand what had been written in the interim to have that work stopped. And so this is what's going to, this is the way in which God is going to settle the matter and determine whether it is to be, that work on the temple is to be completed or not. And obviously it is. So what Zerubbabel and the people had said was 100% correct, and that's going to be that's going to be shown and be revealed when this this search is made of their records. So that's going to take place next, as we start to look a little bit at the beginning of chapter 6, this continues right on from verse 17 of chapter 5, but chapter 6 begins saying, "Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon." So did they have a, well, we have a Library of Congress, and our government has a place where records are kept. But did the Persians have a place? I mean, if they have all the, if their law is you can't change a law, how are they going to know what the original law was as time passes? When certain ones who were around when the original law, when they're no longer around, there's nobody left that can testify as a witness to the original. I mean, how are they going to know? So it's really going to be essential. If you're going to have a law that says you can't change your laws, you're going to have to be very good at keeping a record of all your laws, aren't you? Because otherwise there's going to be confusion like this. Well, did Cyrus, did he make that decree or didn't he? And we're long after his time now, so he's no longer around to say, yes, I said that. He's not there anymore. He's dead and gone. How are they going to know whether this is this claim of having Cyrus's decree is true or false? Well, they've got to be able to search and find this, and so they obviously had a, as it says, the house of the rolls. So that was what they had. They had a house. They had a building where they kept all their records. And where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. So here was a place where they kept all their records to be able to search that. Verse 2 says, "And there was found at Achmetha in the palace that is in the province of the Medes a roll, and therein was a record, thus written, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, and brought into Babylon, be restored, and brought again into the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Aphrasarkites, which are beyond the river, be far from thence. Let the work of the house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree that ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered, and that they which have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. And I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed." How are they going to like those apples? they're not going to like that letter at all. I mean, this is not what they were expecting to get back, is it? So the search was made, and Cyrus's original decree is found. And so that is given to inform these ones who wrote the letter, trying to get this search made and have this work to be stopped forever. They are told that indeed Cyrus had authorized, decreed that that work be done. Well, Darius made an additional decree on top of that for these people that were trying to stop the work to not have that work hindered and to provide expenses that were from the tribute beyond the river. Well, who was going to be paying that tribute? The ones who lived there, which would include whom? So they're being told, well, the money you're having to pay to us, the Persian government, from over there, you're to use that to help them to finish this building. So now they're told that their taxes are going to be used for that. So not only have they failed now in this effort to stop the work of the building of the temple, this building is going to be completed according to that decree from Cyrus that Darius tells them must be honored. But he furthermore decrees that their own taxes are going to be used to provide expenses to make sure that that is finished and it is not to be hindered. And if they do try to hinder it, then their houses are going to be torn down, and then from the rubble of that, they'll make some gallows, set that up, and hang them on it. So that pretty well settles that, doesn't it? Now that's going to take away their courage to try to stop that work from being done, at least in the way that they were doing that. So they're going to have this done, and he says to have it done with speed. So that's what happens. And verse 13, it says, then Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, Sethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so did they speedily. Now, they have a little fire lit under them, don't they? Well, their lives are at stake now, because he's telling them if they don't stop what they've been doing to hinder this work, then they're going to pay for it with their lives. I mean, was very clear. So what Darius decreed is being carried out, and being carried out speedily, as he said, and the work is going to be done. And so verse 14 says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And so that would correspond to 516 B.C., fitting precisely the 70 years of the desolations of Jerusalem that the Lord had prophesied through Jeremiah. And so everything that God had said came to pass exactly. He fulfilled his promise to be with them in the building, and that he was going to make a plain out of the great mountain that was before them. And God did it exactly like he said, didn't he? He's able to do that. And the same God that did that for them is the same one that's on our side now. If he be for us, who can be against us? He still has the same power, and God has promised not to leave us nor forsake us. So he's going to be with us and work everything together for our good. So we should have great courage to do any work that he gives us to do, and trust in him that he's going to provide the way for it to be done. And so we don't have to worry about those things. We can concentrate on doing God's work and let him Let him take care of how it's done and providing the ways for it to be done and to remove whatever obstacles are there that the devil tries to put in front of us. So a lot of good encouragement that we should ourselves receive from reading about what happened there with the rebuilding of the temple of the Lord. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer as we close.